This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We still have to talk about immigration, deportation. We can't be distracted by everything else. But the Obama stuff does matter. This scandal is huge. Lee Smith joins us. Josh Hammer tells us, can we even go after Obama for all that? All that's coming up on I'm Right. I know there are huge issues, huge scandals, and it seems like every single day, us political people, you and me, we get a new one. You know, we're still processing the last one from yesterday or last week, and then we wake up in the morning, we roll over and look at our phones, and we think, oh my gosh, no! And they do matter. The scandals do matter. But we do have to stay focused on the big things, too. We do have to prioritize what are the biggest things we can do with this little window of power we have. Right now, we have the presidency, we have the Senate, we have the House, we have the midterms coming up. We might lose something of it. Right now, we need to make sure, in the words of a congressman I used to know, we have to make sure we're keeping the big deal the big deal. This Obama scandal is not to be ignored. It probably is the greatest political scandal in American history, and we'll get to that in a little bit with Lee Smith. But there is no bigger deal than illegal immigration, than massively deporting all of the foreigners who have flooded into this country over the decades, not just the Biden years, but for decades prior to that. Now, maybe you don't care that much about it. You want some deported, but it's not something that occupies your mind. You're focused on other issues. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. But the beauty of communists is they will tell you where their power truly lies. They will tell you what they're afraid of you attacking. All you have to do is listen to them, and they will let you know, this thing is really important to us. Don't hurt this thing. Please don't touch this thing. Just listen to these people. Here was Hunter Biden recently.
For someone, am I going to be like all these Democrats say, you have to talk about and realize that people are really upset about illegal immigration. F*** you. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you get food on your f***ing table? Who do you think washes your dishes? Who do you think does your garden? Who do you think is here by the f***ing sheer f***ing just grit and will that they figured out a way to get here because they thought that they could give themselves and their family a better chance. And he's somehow convinced all of us that these people are the criminals.
Setting all the F words aside, that was a lot, wasn't it? Obviously, we can't just focus on Hunter Biden. It's Democrat after Democrat after Democrat after Democrat. They can't stop running to the camera and trying to keep illegals here. Here's Gavin Newsom.
You care about farmers and ranchers? If that's what your, like, your number one go-to commitment, then you sure as hell care, should care about their workers. 41% of our construction workers, Texas and California have the highest percentage of their construction workers that would fall into that category. How the hell do we rebuild Altadena and Palisades? We're gonna need a peak next year, we estimate about 70,000 workers without that workforce. Ain't gonna happen. You're struggling here. You imagine it peak there. So I think there needs to be a pathway for those folks as we secure the border and we own that issue.
Do you feel that they're taking American jobs?
Not in Tulare County. Not in Ventura County. I don't know many people that want a job out there in those packing facilities. Mm-hmm. I don't see many people look like me jumping at those jobs. I just don't. Maybe there's some exceptions. I haven't seen the evidence of that.
Okay. So just as we go along here, we'll do a couple more of these, just trying to keep track of the reasons we were given. Picking the strawberries. You don't want to have to pick strawberries, do you? Gavin Newsom switched to make it about the California wildfires. If you don't want the illegals here, then you don't want them to rebuild. That was odd. Sometimes they just go for flat out threatening the ICE agents and forcing it. Quite a move for the mayor of Los Angeles.
Says that his agents, some of them fear that their families will be retaliated against, and that's why they are covering their faces, that they do wear markings for the agencies that they work with. How do you respond?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you that the masked men are not from Los Angeles. And so how their families could be retaliated against, and then what is that to say to local law enforcement, the Los Angeles Police Department, none of whom are ever masked, who always identify themselves and even hand someone a business card? So that makes absolutely no sense at all. And I don't know, but I have a hard time believing that the woman selling pineapples on the corner is going to attack an ICE agent. And then when he says that there's identification, the problem is many of these men are in plain clothes with vests on that say police. It looks like something that they could have gotten online.
Okay. We'll stop. I could do this for an hour. Why are they so passionate about this? It's not popularity. You can look at all the polls, virtually every single one says, oh yeah, deportations are great, deport more. This is not a winning issue for them. So why are they so incredibly passionate about it? Well, when you just accept and acknowledge the fact that all these people are soulless demon politicians, it's not that they care about the strawberries, it's not that they care about rebuilding the Palisades, it's none of that at all. Let's focus on why they truly care. Well, there is a story as old as time, and that story is evil tyrants, in any form of government, evil tyrants prefer foreigners over their citizens. Evil tyrants prefer foreigners over their citizens. Plato talked about this. That's how old this concept is. And it's a very simple concept to understand, you see. If I am an evil tyrant, then what is the true big threat to me? I'm an evil person. I'm just trying to loot and pillage a country. I'm in charge of that country. What is the true threat? Who is most likely to rise up and stop me? The patriotic citizens of whatever country I'm pillaging. So if I have a problem with the most patriotic citizens in that country, citizens loyal to that country, citizens like you who want a better country, then well, I need some new people in here. I need to bring in some people who don't feel a sense of loyalty to the country. I need some people brought in, essentially call them citizen mercenaries. I need some people brought in who I can pay off with a $500 Visa card and some Medicaid benefits, a room at the Roosevelt Hotel, and they'll crap out 15 kids who will vote Democrat for the rest of their lives. Thus, patriotic citizens like you simply get outnumbered in the end. It's a simple calculation. It's not accidental that the Western civilization countries led by evil people from France to Germany to America to the UK to Ireland to Canada, I could go down the list, are all struggling with this exact same thing. The mass importation of foreign barbarians bringing in drugs and crime, raping and pillaging the people. Why are all of these politicians on board with the exact same policy? Because the policy is good for them. It's about money and power. Back in 2021, this moron Yvette Clark, again, if you just listen to communists, they'll tell you, Yvette Clark went on camera and said why she loves illegal immigration.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York. We have a diaspora that can absorb a significant number of these migrants. And when I hear colleagues talk about, the doors of the inn being closed, no room in the inn, I'm saying, I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
I need more people in my district for redistricting purposes. Otherwise, I lose power. Not about the country. The country never enters that demon's mind. When she raises in the morning, when she lays down at night, she thinks about herself and power. And she understands the mass importation of foreign barbarians may end up with your daughter raped and your wife murdered, but it keeps her in Congress. That's why Chuck Schumer got up and said this.
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are.
Just listen when they talk. They will tell you the game. And before I let you go, before we move on, we're not done here, but we have a big show for you. Do keep in mind that it's not just Democrats that believe in flooding this country with foreign barbarians, giving them amnesty. We still have foxes in our own hen house. We still have people inside the GOP today pushing for amnesty. Here's Maria Salazar of Florida, who needs a primary.
If you are undocumented and you have been in the country for more than 5 years, you do not have a criminal record. You're working and paying taxes. You can come out of the shadows with no fear and apply for the dignity status. That means they will pay a fine of $7,000 over 7 years, buy their own health insurance with no access to any federal programs, and contribute 1% of their salary to the United States Treasury. That is $50 billion plus. Just do the math. In return, they will never be deported. They will be able to go home for Christmas or to go bury their mother and come back to the United States to continue working and paying taxes. It gives them a dignified life in the promised land.
Pretty revealing what these people think about America. You can violate our sovereignty, come over here, pillage this country, and then for a small percentage of your paycheck, we'll allow you to stay here. We need these people out of Congress. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a gigantic show for you. This Russian situation with Obama is a really, really, really big deal. Lee Smith is all over it, and we will talk to him in a moment. Before we talk to Lee Smith, let's make sure you are full of pep and energy and ready to tackle the problems of every single day. I get emails from people all the time talking to me about chalk, thanking me for telling them about chalk. Chalk is natural herbal supplements. They are hardcore anti-communists, and they have completely changed my life. A male vitality stack from chalk or a female vitality stack will change your life. Massive increase in your energy, in your focus. You sleep better. You wake up better. Life is better. Go get a subscription. Chalk.com/JesseTV will save you a fortune. You are a month or two away from thanking me too. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is irrefutable evidence that detail how President Obama and his national security team directed the creation of an intelligence community assessment that they knew was false. They knew it would promote this contrived narrative that Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help President Trump win, selling it to the American people as though it were true. It wasn't. The report that we released today shows in great detail how they carried this out. They manufactured findings from shoddy sources. They suppressed evidence and credible intelligence that disproved their false claims. They disobeyed traditional tradecraft intelligence community standards and withheld the truth from the American people.
I am really struggling not to get my hopes up. I watched that Tulsi press conference earlier today. I've been talking to you about all this week. This has gone well beyond me running my mouth about it on television. The DNI standing in front of the American people saying things like, what'd she say, irrefutable evidence? Is someone going to go down for all this? Joining me now, the guy who was on this a long time before today, Lee Smith, author of, well, so many wonderful things, but the book Plot Against the President, Disappearing the President, The Permanent Coup. None of this stuff is news to Lee. Okay, Lee, Obama being the engineer of all this is, of course, something you and I have talked about for ages. Well, you've told me about for ages. You've been all over this for a very long time. Can somebody go down, and I mean somebody big, not some useless idiot lackey at the FBI? This sounds seriously.
I don't know if Obama is going to go down. Okay. I mean, he's a former president of the United States. So, of course, with the DNI, Tulsi Gabbard said is exactly correct, that intelligence community assessment was changed on Obama's orders. And in fact, that's been out there, and it didn't even take an investigative reporter to get to the bottom of that. That's what their own press was saying. It's Obama who ordered it, and he wanted it done before he left office. So all that is exactly true. Again, whether that points to criminal activity on Obama's behalf, I don't know. But Jesse, the big news that I'm here to bring you, I don't know if it's news, but maybe a new mood. There's lots of reasons for optimism, and one of that, the main reason is that the right people are on board. Donald Trump on the campaign trail promised to put an end to the weaponization of the federal government, and he put people in positions where they can make that happen. Tulsi Gabbard is one of them, but I mean the top name on there is Kash Patel, and reports in particular from John Solomon show that Patel is right now working on a very large conspiracy case going from 2016 to 2024. And I want to remind people, when Kash Patel was lead investigator for Devin Nunes's House Intelligence Committee, they made several referrals to the DOJ in April 2019, and one of those referrals included a large conspiracy case. Now, one of the good things about the conspiracy case, I don't want to get too far into details, not being a lawyer, but my understanding is that one of the important things about a conspiracy case is there's lots of different things in there that would allow you to get around statute of limitations. So again, Jesse, I know you don't want to play this role, and I don't want to play this role either of Pollyanna, but again, there's reason to be optimistic, and that's why Donald Trump Donald Trump won the popular vote in November 2024, because he gave people optimism about a lot of different things, and certainly this is one of them. So yeah, I'm certainly hopeful.
Okay, Lee, I'm going to ask you something. It may sound a little odd, but I'm asking this because you're an expert on this stuff, and I am not. You've written books on it. You've been talking about it for a very long time. Barack Obama, post-election, okay, so they've lost, Donald Trump's coming into the White House, takes this extraordinary step, and now we have the documentation, it's not arguable, he takes the step to weaponize the CIA, FBI against Donald Trump. Now, Obama's a lot of things, but a moron is not one of them. How could he ever imagine that he wouldn't eventually get caught for this? When he's about to lose power, it's not like he's doing this when he just won an election. Donald Trump just won the election. Why would you take a step like that?
Well, I mean, you know, one argument that people make is the actual Obama. Look, there are two different parts to Russiagate here, right? There's the part before the election, and what we're looking at is a Hillary Clinton campaign dirty trick, tarring, vilifying Trump as a Russian agent. The real problem there is that the FBI used that allegation to spy on the Trump campaign. So that's the real problem there. Not a dirty trick in the campaign. It's rotten, nasty, but nothing worse than what LBJ might have done. The real problem happens after the election, when Barack Obama takes control of it. So arguably, one of the things that Obama was doing with that operation was covering up the FBI spying on the Trump campaign. And look, Barack Obama and Barack Obama associates and affiliates kept Donald Trump tied down during the entirety of his first term. Joe Biden won in 2020. Had Donald Trump not been elected in 2024, Jesse, Barack Obama's gamble would have paid off richly, right? He got away with all this stuff and no one was ever the wiser for it. There were a bunch of clowns like Lee Smith, driving their family up the wall by writing three books about this over the course of 5 years. But aside from you know, aside from conspiracy theorist lunatics like Lee Smith and his friend Jesse Kelly, whom he talks about this nonsense with on TV, no one believes it. No serious people believe it. Barack Obama, there was never a scandal in his administration. Deal with the facts. That would have been the case. And that's why you see the press losing their minds right now. And that's why you see the Obama office releasing a statement regarding Trump, what they call Trump's bizarre allegations. So Obama very nearly got away with it. And again, I'm optimistic, but this is there are no charges yet, right? Again, there are criminal referrals. There is reportedly an investigation underway. But there's still a ways to go before we see whether or not Barack Obama and Barack Obama aides will be held responsible for what they did. Again, what Cash Patel is looking at is 2016 to 2024.
Lee, what did John Brennan do? You know more about this than anybody. What did he actually do? Director of Central Intelligence Agency shouldn't be even be operating domestically, but all that aside, what did he do?
Well, I mean, there's something, I wrote a piece about this last week for Tablet. He did something. There was something, this is actually important, you know, for everything that Brennan and other intelligence chiefs said about the all of the intelligence that they were getting regarding what Russia was doing with Trump officials. There was only one genuine piece of Russian intelligence that the CIA, that U.S. spy agencies picked up regarding Trump and Russia, and that was this. The Russians understood, because they'd been hacking the emails of Clinton associates, the Russians understood that Hillary Clinton had part of Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign was to frame Trump as a Russian agent. So the Russians were aware of this. When this intelligence came in to the CIA, it came in from an allied service. When it came to the CIA, Brennan was supposed to spread the word that this happened. According to John Durham's report, it seems that John Brennan or someone close to John Brennan buried this information. And so that could get Brennan in quite a bit of trouble. This is known as the Clinton Plan Intelligence. And it appears that Brennan might have buried that intelligence and he might have tampered with evidence. So I think that this is something that people will be looking at DOJ, at the FBI. And this may be one reason why John Brennan was referred by CIA Director John Ratcliffe to Director Cash Patel for an investigation.
Is there somebody, I mean, the Brennans, the Clappers, the Comeys, the Obamas, these are big names that most people, I mean, anyone who reads Lee Smith is going to know these names. Is there another name, because there usually is a name behind the name, who's doing a lot of evil deeds? Anita Dunn is one of these type of people. Is there a name behind the name that we should be talking about more, who has their fingerprints all over this?
Very good question. I would say, and you know, this some people have reported on this guy, but this was a powerful official at Obama's DOJ, a man named David Loftman. And David Loftman was responsible, David Loftman was part of the driving force in the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, which was investigating Trump aides, Michael Flynn, George Papadopoulos, Carter Page, Paul Manafort, and another Trump aide. And so it was David Loftman who was using the FARA statute to target Trump aides. So I think David Loftman is probably a name that people should be aware of and should be checking out. Weirdly, David Loftman was also part of the attack on Brett Kavanaugh. So Loftman is a name that Americans should be aware of.
Another one of these communist henchmen who goes in there and does what he does. Lee, as always, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. There's always one of those guys. That's why I asked him. You know, we know the headliners, but there's always one of these communist menaces. They don't want to be on TV. They don't ever rise to the top, but they're behind the scenes doing their evil things. And what a shock that he was involved in the Kavanaugh thing, too. That's why I asked it. I'm shocked that you have anything other than Pure Talk. That's what I'm shocked about. Maybe you have Verizon for your cell phone. Maybe you have AT&T or T-Mobile. But that's only because you don't understand Pure Talk. You see, Pure Talk will save you a fortune. Maybe it's just monetary. They'll save you a fortune. When I switched from T-Mobile to PureTalk, my bill got cut in half, clean in two. PureTalk is the patriotic cell phone company. Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. They're so passionate about America, they give back to veterans. That's their focus. They hire Americans. Does American jobs, does that interest you? PureTalk does that. Oh, but Jesse, I can't afford to drop calls. PureTalk's on the same network. I'm not asking you to switch to some fly-by-night cell phone company. Switch to PureTalk. There's no reason not to. You want a new phone? They have those too. Keep your number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any of this new information implicates former President Obama in criminal behavior?
We have referred and will continue to refer all of these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI. To investigate the criminal implications of this.
For even former the evidence, President Obama?
Correct. The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm that fact.
Okay. Well, that's really bad. And this, as we've talked about, has gone to a different level here. It's one thing for you and me to sit and talk about it. It's another thing entirely for the paperwork itself to land on Pam Bondi's desk. But as I've told you over and over again, these people have to go to prison, but I'm not telling you they will. Powerful people oftentimes don't go down. Let's see what Josh has to say. Joining me now, my friend Josh Hammer, host of the Josh Hammer Show. Josh, let's start with Barack Obama himself, and then we'll move on to the other things. Barack Obama needs to go to prison for this, but I'm also not naive. Can he go to prison for this?
Jesse, I want to be told that he can. I also think that Barack Obama's personal activity in the Russia collusion delusion is irrefutable and undeniable, as many like Lee Smith have been saying for many, many years, and now Tulsi Gabbard is finally revealing, you know, for all to see in, with this tremendous public service of the declassification. But I do not see it happening, unless there is something glaring that I am missing, and I don't think that I'm missing anything quite that glaring. This is a pretty straightforward application of the U.S. Supreme Court case that just came down this past summer. We just did this idea of trying to prosecute a foreign president. In that case, it was President Donald J. Trump. We got to the Supreme Court. We had the case Trump versus the United States. The court, as many of us predicted, kind of gives us this multi-layered tier of presidential conduct. But the court said very clearly that there is absolute immunity from future criminal prosecution for any actions that were taken in office for core presidential activity. And no matter how egregious the underlying conduct is here, and it is deeply, deeply offensive and egregious, it is nonetheless core presidential activity. I hate to say it, because it involves the direction of the IC, of the intelligence community, the CIA, the FBI, NSA. I mean, this is bread and butter Article II presidential power type stuff. So I'm open to the other arguments. I would love to be proven wrong, but I tend to be a realist about these things, and I love to give people false hope, so I just don't see it happening, unfortunately.
No, I love that you're a realist, Josh. I do. Let me play the very uneducated, angry citizen, and I don't have to play that. That's exactly what I am. So you are telling me that a president is allowed to create false information using the Central Intelligence Agency, attack his political opponents with that, and he still has immunity from doing that?
So... I mean, when you phrase it like that, look, I really, really want to say no. But if you think about what he's actually doing there, he is directing the intelligence agencies to purportedly act in accordance with gathering intelligence. Now, we know that's not what he's actually doing there. He's trying to create this whole fraud, this hoax on the American people, trying to handicap the Trump presidency, in this case, before it even started, back during the transition period. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened, by the way. When Jim Comey tapped Bob Mueller, the Mueller probe takes up literally more than half, over 2 years of the 4 years of the first Trump term. So the Obama plot was unfortunately phenomenally successful in undermining much of the Trump presidency there. But this does seem to me like it falls under the absolute immunity category of the Trump versus United States opinion at the Supreme Court. I'll give you an example of something that would not fall under the category of absolute immunity. If Barack Obama, you know, there's these rumors of Barack and Michelle getting a divorce. If Barack Obama finds Michelle Obama sleeping with someone else and then in a fit of rage takes out a gun and shoots the guy dead there, okay, that's not core Article II presidential power. That's a local homicide for the Washington, D.C. prosecutor's office and the Washington D.C. police. But something like this, unfortunately, I do think Jesse would be immunized there. And I appreciate what the administration is doing very, very, very much there. But I think they're getting a little ahead of their skis when it comes to the specific threat of prosecuting Barack Obama.
Okay. All right. Let's set him aside then. That sucks. But that's life. Who can go down, Josh? John Brennan, James Comey? I mean, to use your position, high up position, in these powerful agencies to politic on behalf of Democrats and attack the Republican, incoming Republican president, that sounds like a crime that should send you to prison for the rest of your life. Can they go down?
So look, I'm the lawyer, right? So I'll play the part of lawyer. I mean, here's how it works. When someone does something really, really bad, you still need a specific statute that outlines what that person did wrong. And it has to be within the period of the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations cannot have expired. Unless of course, you're Alvin Bragg, and then you somehow find a way to get over the five-year statute of limitations for the misdemeanor there and then the ridiculous Stormy Daniels prosecution. So, you know, there are some very creative ways here, and we can talk about that a little bit more if you want to. But, you know, Jesse, upon looking here, I haven't necessarily seen Pam Bondi, the DOJ, outline what their theory of the case is yet. That's probably because I'm not sure they have one yet. This is very much a new unfolding situation there. There are a few possible statutes that come to mind. There's 18 U.S. Code Section 242, which is a federal criminal conspiracy to deprive constitutional rights. That has, I believe, a 5-year or at most a 7-year statute of limitations, but I believe it's a 5-year statute of limitations. There's the Espionage Act, I guess, in theory. I mean, that is what the Democrat lawfare complex used against Donald Trump in the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. It's a very, very sloppy fit here. There's seditious conspiracy. I mean conspiracy to literally commit treason, which is basically what Tulsi Gabbard and Donald Trump himself are saying there. I think that also has a 5 to 7 year statute of limitations there. So you would have to start to get a little creative here when it comes to trying to start the tolling of the statute of limitations at a later date. I don't pretend to know exactly how that would work, but that's the kind of thing that you would basically have to do. So it's possible, but I think that there are potentially glaring statute of limitations problems, which makes sense, frankly, given that we're talking about conduct that took place at this point almost a decade ago.
What about jurisdiction, Josh? Everybody and their brother knows a Democrat cannot be convicted of anything in Washington, D.C., because it's only communists who live there, therefore only communists in the jury pool. John Solomon and others have said this case could very well be moved to Florida. What say you?
Well, there's no reason in theory why it couldn't be moved out of Washington, D.C. I can't necessarily think of a reason why it hasn't necessarily be in Washington, D.C., but yeah, he's right. John Solomon is right that assuming that you have a case, assuming that you've somehow managed to solve the statute of limitations problem, you found a statute that fits the crime there, and we've dotted all the I's and crossed all those T's, then yeah, it's entirely possible that a jury pool could basically sink this before it even gets going there. That's always an issue, of course, when it comes to these blue city jurisdictions there. Look, Jesse, I guess kind of zooming out here, it's very frustrating because I want to say that what I really feel, which is that this was treason. I mean, this was horrific, horrific, horrific behavior, and it is loathsome. It is offensive to me as an American citizen, as an American patriot. It is deeply offensive that there has not been a smidgen of justice, other than the former FBI attorney Kevin Kleinsmith, who forged a FISA surveillance warrant to spy on Carter Page. He's the only one who's paid any price, and he just had 12 months probation and 400 hours of community service, so he got absolutely nothing. So I hate the fact that none of these people are doing perp walks and handcuffs and serving time behind bars. But again, I have to play the part of lawyer here, and it's tough. It's an uphill slog, honestly.
All right. Does Pam Bondi have the chops to try this case, or is she going to have to go special counsel?
This seems to me like it would be a good fit for a special counsel. If the DNI Tulsi Gabbard is as serious as she seems to be, about all the declassifications, which we've seen a lot of this thus far, it kind of corroborates much of what we've already known for years about the extent to which John Brennan and others were involved there. And this really is, indeed, this is one of the biggest scandals in modern American political history there. It is absolutely the kind of situation where a special counsel would be called for. Now, it's worth noting, and I'll just flag it, that we've kind of sort of already been down this road before. It was the Durham probe. This is back when the former U.S. attorney for Connecticut, John Durham, when he was called in to be a special counsel to do exactly this back during the first Trump term. And ultimately, John Durham came back with a conclusion that was basically a lame duck, where he didn't actually end up recommending any specific criminal prosecution. So there's a potential risk here of deja vu. You know, the great New York Yankees catcher Yogi Berra might have called it deja vu all over again. But there have been new developments between the Durham probe and now when it comes to what Tulsi has declassified. So I think that's probably the way to go here. But again, I'm very hesitant to get the people's hopes up there because we have kind of tried this already with the Durham probe, and the Durham probe was basically a big fat nothing burger, unfortunately.
Okay, finally, final one. Adam Schiff, is he going down for mortgage fraud, or is this more wishful thinking?
Okay, so that is probably the highest probability item here. I'm not going to confidently predict that he is. but there is no real kind of glaring kind of structural legal issue that leaps off the page there. There's not a Trump versus United States Supreme Court opinion on presidential immunity. There's no kind of glaring statute of limitations problem there. At that point, you're kind of getting into a factual dispute. You know, may the best lawyer win, you know, pound the table, convince the jury, that sort of thing. So that's the kind of courtroom drama that I love, that you love, that we all love there. That strikes me as a much higher probability, frankly, if I'm just being very realistic, than what else we're talking about here.
He's the host of the Josh Hammer Show. If you want more of this stuff, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. That sucks. I'm not surprised. I told you. They need to go down. That doesn't mean they're going to go down. We'll see. Fingers crossed. I'm always ready to be surprised. I'm surprised at how good olive oil can be. I'll tell you that. That surprises me. I've always been kind of okay on olive oil. I understand Ab is going to put it in whatever pasta or chicken she's cooking it, but I get all that, but not a big deal to me. I didn't realize all of our olive oil was old. No one thinks about that. The olive oil you buy in the grocery store is months old, sometimes years old. That's not good. Think about how much flavor is lost during that period of time. Now, maybe you don't believe me. Totally fine. I get it. I'm not sure I would believe me. Why don't you get a free bottle fresh from a farm? Farmfresh246.com. They will send you a $39 bottle of olive oil free. You just pay a buck to cover the shipping. Try one bottle of fresh olive oil. You'll be at farmfresh246.com every single time you need some. Go get some fresh olive oil. Now, we have a special edition of Light in the Mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever heard of cart narcs? Look, I do the same thing you do. When I'm killing time, I'm in an airport, maybe I'm in bed. You shouldn't do this before bed, but I do it. I go scrolling on social media and look for something that entertains me, right? So, cart narcs. You know this is a passion of mine. I've told you before, I'm not even really joking, that if you could automatically deport every human being who doesn't put their cart back, the country would increase, it would be better exponentially. Just because it tells you, it's revealing of how you look at yourself and your place in the world. Well, we have Agent Sebastian with us now. Cart narcs is his baby. He's the founder of it. And I'm dying to talk to him. Before we get to him, though, in case you're wondering, maybe you haven't seen it, they expose these people. Here it is.
Oh, look at that. A half curbing. That's not where the carts go, sir. Well, you should, because they won't.
Shut your mouth, punk.
What does the sign say at the cart return? Please return carts here.
Yeah, and the carts right there.
But that doesn't say please return carts there. You're getting a hood magnet of shame, sir. Now,
get
sir.
The out of here,
well, as soon as you return your cart. Would you like a magnet instead? Now, sir. They
get your off my car.
As soon as you take your cart.
Get the out of here, mother.
Why are you?
Get the out of here. I'll beat your.
Sir, no, you won't. Look at yourself. Who's Perry Carabell alive? Look, sir. Sir, let me give you two because you're being such an angry bones. Where'd that Matt flag go? You know what he's getting? This guy is so angry. He's getting double magnets and the flag. Watch out behind you, sir. What a jerk face.
Joining me now, Agent Sebastian, the founder of Cart Narcs. Okay, Sebastian, I have to know how you even came up with this concept.
Well, it is surprisingly dull, quite frankly. It was me and a friend talking in the office, and we were just asked the question, why don't people do this? You know, what's their problem? and people have been asking this question for decades. I'm not original in that thought. But what I did was I went out and asked people. I just walked up to people, didn't have the vest or the uniform or the magnets or any of that stuff. And I just asked people, and immediately I got violence, all the excuses in the book. People were angry at me, really angry at themselves, spoiler alert. And so from there, I just kind of said, well, okay, obviously there's something here. There's something ridiculous going on with these people. And I just kind of thought to myself, well, what if that, then what else, you know? The type of person who would do this, would they have, there'd be an agency, and one thing led to another, and that's where we are today.
I have to ask, because you're the one who's out there in the field, if you will, seeing these people, meeting these people, do you notice any kind of a constant theme? And I mean, is it old, young, men, women, white, black? Is there any kind of a consistent theme, or does it just come down to find the self-centered person, and there you go?
Well, you're right. You're right to an extent there. It really doesn't matter age, sex, race, socioeconomic, as far as the people who will leave them out. That's across the board. However, the people who were willing to fight me, and what you're kind of seeing here, this guy didn't specifically attack me, but the guy previously did. The guys who are willing to fight me are number one guys. And number two, they tend to be like 35 to 55, middle-aged guys who are willing to throw down over a shopping cart. And I think it has to do with they're now at the point in their life where they're the boss. Because I'll go up to like 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and they're usually just like, oh, okay. But those older guys will want to battle. And I think it has to do with, you know, they don't want to hear it from me, some dweeb in a vest.
Have you been physically attacked? Surely one of these guys is as big of a nut job to actually throw a swing or something at you.
A lot have tried, even more have promised. But what I tell people is it's really easy not to get in a fight in life in general. Just don't get in a fight. Don't be within arm and fist distance of a person, which is only 3 or 4 feet. And so then will people say, oh, you're a wuss, you won't fight. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's the whole point. The point of Cardnarks is not to get in parking lot fights. It is to get people to behave in a civil manner. And again, that's why I say, use your words. Don't fight over this stuff. You know, try to talk through your problems. But unfortunately, some people just don't want to do that.
So how long have you been doing this exactly? And I'm asking really, how long do you intend to do this? Because I geek out on these. I find them to be so hilarious. And every time I see some guy losing his temper, I'll be honest, I worry about your safety a little bit. There's so many psychos out there now. Somebody pulls out a knife or something like that.
Well, that's a fair question. I'm coming up on 7 years, you know, part-time as a hobby or whatever. And people have pulled knives. They've pulled guns, pepper spray, tasers, all that stuff, besides fists and all that other stuff, and throwing stuff, you know, drinks or whatever at me. And yeah, you know, everybody, no matter what you're doing, especially in something that's a physical danger to yourself, there's a retirement age. I don't know what that is yet. Hopefully I'm not forced into retirement via injury, but I do have no plans to stop as of yet.
How do you keep your cool when you're getting cussed at like that? When you called him, I'll be honest, maybe the funniest part was when you called him a lazy bones. It makes me burst out laughing every time. I've seen that clip 10 times. That just murders me.
Well, I think it's my natural demeanor is I'm just a calm, rational person in general. And so I was sort of built for this because I hear that comment. Oh, that's a great, great observation. As somebody said, I couldn't do Cardnarks because when somebody started swinging at me and screaming at me and threatening to run me over, I would respond in kind, which I would be to an extent justified in doing so. But like you mentioned, it wouldn't go with the whole mission. The whole mission is to get people to behave civilly. And so a part of it is I'm naturally a calm person, but part of it too is I've done this thousands of times. So I've seen the patterns of behavior over and over again. And I just don't have the need to scream at anybody.
Agent Sebastian, it is Cardnarks. Go track them down on YouTube. You will laugh until you cry. Thank you, my man, for the service you do. I appreciate it. All right. A little something different tonight. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.